Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's the new
spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
You got a question for RLM?
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, happiness specialist, inner peace practitioner, oracle student, and also teacher. Let me scratch that. Let me put teacher first and student. Always a student, Rebecca L. Norrington. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for finding the show. Thank you for sharing. I don't know how the show is growing organically, but we're also simultaneously on Wisdom right now. So all of my Wisdom people, if you want to speak with me live, don't use the button to say ask to join. Just call this number, which is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. You'll be in a queue, and I can press the number 1, and then you can ask me a question and or comment and or share whatever you want to do. But it's through the live number, 646-564-9619. Okay. Whew. Who the hell is Rebecca L. Norrington, happiness specialist? The nerve. How the heck does she think she can? What? Well, let me just start off by saying that by no means do I believe or think that my way is the only way. But what I have learned over four decades of practice is that happiness is a practice skill. And when I say happiness is a practice skill, I really mean it. I mean it. It's just like any other skill, from being a musician, a speaker, a writer, an athlete, a chef, landscaper, painter, crocheter. It is a practice skill. And so it comes down to whether or not you, my dear listener, you are interested, committed to, prioritize, wanting to feel differently than how you're feeling. This life, let me just be honest, this life is a roller coaster. Sometimes you're feeling good, sometimes you're feeling like crap, sometimes you're feeling great and connected, sometimes you just feel like shit. Happens to me too. But there is a practice for all of that. And I love the topics today. Oh, I cannot wait to get into the topics. But before, I just have to do a quick introduction, especially for the new people that are finding me. I'm getting followers every week. I have no idea how or why, because I'm horrible at marketing. That's not my skill or my strength. But anywho, what was my point? My point was organic followers. So this is just for people that don't know me. So let me just give a brief introduction. And for everyone else that's heard it a million times, you can take a break, get some water, check your texts. When I say happiness is a practice skill, let me just start with my definition of happiness. And let me be very, very clear. Happiness is an energy. It's a vibration. It's not something happens and now I'm happy. I know some people really don't like that word and rather use the word joy. Well, I don't really feel joy. I don't feel that word. I really go by my instincts, my feelings, my inspiration. I just don't feel it yet. I may feel joy in 6 months, but I'm saying I like the word happiness better than joy. That's my point. And so when I talk about happiness, please know or please understand that I'm talking about a vibration, an energy, an identity, a state in mind, a state of mind, a constant that never leaves, a root, you know, a root, when I say root, like a tree root, tree roots, you know, when you're in the house and you set your temperature gauge for whatever temperature you like, that's what I'm talking about, setting your temperature gauge, your internal temperature gauge to happiness. Let me scratch happiness. Let me give you a vibration, the vibration of peace, the vibration of energy of contentment, the vibration of satisfaction. So in any moment, you're either feeling satisfied or dissatisfied. It's just that simple. You're feeling that everything's in order, or gee whiz, something's wrong with this moment. So that vibration is the temperature gauge, is the set point. And that's what I'm talking about when I say happiness or energy. It is a peaceful, content, satisfied energy in all moments, regardless of what life shoots at you, regardless of what life brings to you, what life throws at you, what's unexpected, regardless of all that, you are set at a temperature gauge, at an internal temperature gauge of contentment. And with that contentment, there is a knowing, there is a trust, and a knowing that everything that is happening to you, everything that you are experiencing, let me just calm down because I'm just, whoo, let me take a breath here. Let me just take a breath. I just love this topic. Everything that you are experiencing is there to serve you in some crazy maniac, sometimes welcomed, sometimes not welcomed way. And when I talk about identity theft, when we get to our topic, you are going to understand, well, I don't know if you're going to understand it, but I'm going to try to explain the difference in always feeling content and always feeling satisfied and always feeling at peace. That energy, when I say feeling, I'm talking about your energy, is always peaceful. That's a possibility. That can happen. Again, if you want to speak with me live for you wisdom people, the number to call in is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. I'm just doing a brief introduction before we get to today's topic, identity theft. And I'm talking about spiritual identity theft and the truth about your emotions and your feelings. This just came to me this week. I'm getting chills now. You know, when you have a relationship, and you all have a relationship with, I say the universe, God, I can say God, I can say spirit, higher power, whatever word you want to use. And quite frankly, this show is even for people that don't believe in God. You don't have to believe in God to practice the behaviors that subtract from peace and practice the behaviors that, and in other words, no, it's not practice, eliminate the behaviors that subtract from your happiness and your peace and contentment, and also to practice the behaviors that add to your peace and happiness. You don't have to believe in God to do any of this. Isn't that great? Isn't that, what's the audience? The audience is anybody that is, who are you marketing to? The market is anyone who wants to experience more contentment on the journey. One of my favorite quotes from Abraham, Esther Hicks and Abraham, is you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. And so this is about the journey, the day-to-day grind, the moment-by-moment, all of the stuff, all of the things you experience, all of the things I experience. Listen, we are the same here, the ups and downs, and one of the most important things that I discovered is the programming, what I was taught. You know, you didn't pop out, I like to say pop out of the womb. You didn't pop out of the womb knowing how to worry. You didn't pop out of the womb having judgment. You didn't pop out of the womb thinking about the past or thinking about the future or lack of acceptance or comparing yourself to someone else or blaming other people for how you're feeling. You didn't pop out of the womb thinking that something was really serious, something's really important. So what I'm talking about when I say the programming, all the programming that was learned can be unlearned with practice and patience and commitment. That's it. So when you practice, when you are committed, and you want to feel, it is nothing to do with what's happening in your life, because how, whatever you're going through, whatever challenge you're having, whether you label it a 1 through a 10, whatever it is, can be switched, your energy can be switched, your vibration can be switched. I'm snapping my fingers. Your vibration can be switched in an instant with a change, with a different perspective. But how many of you practice changing your perspective in an instant? So the practice is being able to change your perspective and find what's good about what's happening. Now, if you can't find it, that's okay. You trust that whatever is happening is serving you. Because even without believing, you can go back into your life and say, wow, I experienced this, and you know, I know when I was going through this storm, I didn't like it, but you know what? Wow, I gained some real growth from that. Or I got some real lessons from that. I'm expanding my consciousness with that. The other practice is self-awareness, being aware in every single moment. I know it's exhausting, but I'm telling you, it is part of the practice. When I say happiness is a practice skill, it is part of the practice of being aware, aware of self, not what anybody else is doing. Stay out of everybody else's business, because that will, you know when you're noticing what someone else is doing and you're making a judgment, what does that do to your peace? It subtracts from it. Let me just do a couple more quick introductions. This is for my new people. One of the things that I like to share is this is a study, you can Google it, done by a hospice nurse, Bronnie Ware, B-R-O-N-N-I-E, Ware. And the study was titled The Five Most Common Regrets of the Dying. The five most common regrets of the dying. Now, and you can Google it and find, in fact, she wrote a book about it, I believe. But anyway, the five most common regrets of the dying, I think it's a pretty powerful study. You can't get any more powerful than people that are looking at the end of their days and realizing that, hey, I've got days to live, weeks to live, months to live. In fact, let me ask you that question. What would you do different if you knew you only had months to live? Would you do anything different? Would that be enough to shake you up, to do something different, to switch your priorities, knowing that you only had 6 months left to live? Or, 3 months left to live. What would you change? Or would you change anything? See, only you can answer that question. So let me give you the answers to the five most common regrets of the dying. And these five common regrets kept coming up over and over and over again. So I'd like to share them with you if possible. Again, if you want to call and speak with me live, ask a question, make a comment. I love questions. I love when you don't agree with me. I love the challenge. The challenge is there for growth. When I'm challenged, I grow. And I'm even talking about internal challenges, which I will be sharing in a few minutes about, oh boy, what happened this week. It's reality, spirituality, babies. So the five most common regrets of the dying, the first one is, I wish I pursued my dreams and aspirations and not the life others expected of me. Ooh, let me read that one again. I wish I had pursued my dreams and aspirations and not the life others expected of me. I had a call with someone this week, and they were talking about, I'm just not being me. I'm falling into being what everybody else wants me to be. Listen, I went through all that. I went through that shit too, years and years and years ago with my father. Boy, oh boy, did I want to please Ralph Norrington. And there was a time when I stopped. But it didn't happen overnight. But it's very freeing just to be yourself. The second biggest, I mean, it's freedom without caring what anyone thinks, how anyone judges, because you're going to be judged. This is the world of judgments. So judge me. That's okay. But I'm going to rely on what the universe thinks of me. What the universe thinks of me, there is no judgment. The universe likes me exactly the way I am. Okay, let me get to the second one. Boy, oh boy, can I ramble on. Number two, I wish I didn't work so hard. I wish I didn't work so hard. So how many of you out there are working really hard? And I'm not telling you to do anything different. All I'm offering here on this, on reality spirituality, is just a different perspective. You can listen, or you can accept it, take some, and then throw other something else out. I'm just so easy. I'm just offering a different perspective. And in fact, that's one of my biggest compliments when someone tells me, you know what, Rebecca, they don't say Rebecca, they say Rebecca. I never thought about it like that. You want to compliment me? You know what? I've never thought about it like that. Thank you for that different perspective. That's the highest praise. I love that. Anyway, let me get back. Or I should say my ego loves that, because that is an ego. That is an ego thing. Okay, let's see. I wish I didn't work so hard. I wish I had the courage to express my feelings and speak my mind. I wish I had the courage to express my feelings and speak my mind. Well, there are a few people that are out there that have been doing it, and I have to say that it takes a lot to be out there and say and be yourself without caring about someone not liking you or someone canceling you. You know, the people that especially nowadays with the cancel culture, when people don't like what someone else is saying, and it's a big movement to cancel them. Well, cancel me. That's okay. I don't mind. It's being able to let go of what anyone thinks. Talk about freedom. And there have been a few pioneers, many pioneers, whether you agree with them or you don't. I'm really going to comedians now. I think was it Lenny Bruce that was imprisoned, and Red Fox and Dave Chappelle's had problems. I mean, just be able to speak your mind and be able to say and be you. Anyway, the other one is, I wish I would have stayed in touch with my friends. I wish I would have stayed in touch with my friends. Well, I put an asterisk next to this one, because sometimes we just outgrow people, and that's just life, just outgrowing someone. And so some people that I knew in junior high school, college, there's one person that I still stay in contact with, but not a lot. And the last one is, of the five regrets of the dying, I wish I had let myself be happier. I think that's pretty powerful. Let me get to today, but before I go on, so let me share with you, when I say happiness is a state of mind, it's a vibration, it's an energy, it's a foundation, it becomes your identity. It is a temperature gauge, an internal temperature gauge that you have set. And if you want to speak with me live from my wisdom community, you can call the number, area code 646-564-9619, again, area code 646-564-9619, and you'll be in the queue. Press the number 1. You can ask a question, make a comment, and or share. So let me ask you, going forward on a scale from 1 to 10, how important is happiness in your life? Only you can come up with that answer. And if you say 10, then are you just saying it or are you actually doing something about it? Because there's a difference between talking it and walking it. And then what is your definition of happiness? I didn't give my definition yet. My definition of happiness is the ability to be at peace regardless of what happens and regardless of what doesn't happen. My definition of happiness is the ability to be at peace, the ability to be the energy, an energy of peace, regardless of what happens, regardless of what doesn't happen. You're standing in a rowboat by yourself in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. Waves are coming, the storm is coming, the rain, the tornadoes. But you're standing there and you are at peace. That is my definition of happiness. And the storms of life come. They come for me. Listen, I think I get extra. I think because I'm claiming I'm a happiness specialist, I think the universe just piles on. I'm okay with it though. I'm okay. Because the rewards, the peace is just coming. It is. Listen, let me just say this. You know, there's a different vibration of being angry. You can be peacefully angry. You can be peacefully depressed. That comes with awareness. That comes with the practice of self-awareness. So my question to you is, who or what is subtracting from your happiness today? And are you as happy when you're faced with life's inevitable challenges? And that's what this show is about, sharing what I have practiced, what the practice of being able to take the bows and arrows of this life and still move and still vibrate peace. So from answer yes or no, can other people hurt your feelings? Can other people offend you? Can other people disappoint you? You know, there's a practice. If you never want to experience disappointment or heartbreak the rest of your life, are you ready for this? Are you ready for this practice? I guarantee it. It's a promise. You will never experience heartbreak or disappointment for the rest of your life if you, drum roll, beep, 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 or let me just do a horn, beep, 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 whatever that is. Eliminate all expectations. When you eliminate all expectations, and again, expectations is a program. You learned how to have expectations, and whatever you learned, you can unlearn. But if you want to get rid of no more disappointments and no heartbreak, well, some people do, some people don't. Trust me on this. Eliminate all expectations. It's not an easy practice, and none of this stuff is an easy practice. And where is all the practice done? Where is all the practice done? Raise your hands if you know the answer. I'm going to telepathically see, oh, I see a few hands raised. Oh, I see a few hands raised. All the practice is done. Oh, put your seatbelts on for this one. All the practice is done in the mirror. Yes, I'm sorry to give you that news, but all of the practice is done in the mirror. But that's the powerful. That's the powerful component to this. Practicing in the mirror. There's no one else. You, God, universe, hand in hand. There is nothing that you cannot accomplish. And I'm talking spiritually, meaning raising your consciousness, being more self-aware, trusting more. You know the only reason why you worry? How many worriers are out there? The only reason why you worry is just one reason, lack of trust. That's it. So when you practice trusting that everything that's happening is supposed to happen is serving you. Simple. Eliminate worry. Some of you are stuck. Some of you are stuck with that worry. Some of you, what would you do if you couldn't worry anymore? What would you do with that time? What would you do? Sometimes people get addicted to worrying, complaining, being negative, talking about other people, noticing what other people are doing and making a judgment, thinking there's something wrong, focusing on what's wrong, talking about the past, all of these addictions. Forget the drug addictions, the addictions to addictions to substance or alcohol or shopping or gambling or food. How about the addictions to being right? I had to let go of that one. I can give up being right in a second. No, you want to argue with me? You're right. You're right. The addictions to complaining, the addictions to blaming circumstances or of something. Of course, it's the reason why I'm feeling like this. And let me get to today's topic. Ooh-wee. Let me get to today's topic. Boy, oh boy, I can just go on and on and on. Today's topic, the truth about your emotions and your feelings. The truth about your emotions and your feelings. What the hell is she going to say about that? Let's listen. Being a self-proclaimed happiness specialist, inner peace practitioner, and an oracle and a teacher, all of that, and a student, all of that, trust me when I say there is not a moment that I am not conscious and or aware of my ego speaking, my critical mind speaking, lower consciousness. I mean, the only time I'm not aware, maybe if I'm watching TV. No, because I'm aware even when I'm watching TV if I'm judging somebody. So I am always aware. I get a break when I'm sleeping. but it's just what I practice now. But that self-awareness. Okay, so let me just share with you what has happened the last couple of weeks. I've noticed that there is more of a, I'm not even going to say there's more of a, but there is a, I'm feeling great. This is a story. Okay, and remember, we've talked about stories before. Be very, very cautious. Be very aware of the story your ego wants to tell you. So if it's more than three words, you know it's a story authored by the ego, the mind, the lower consciousness, whatever title you want to put in, you want to put on it. So I've noticed that, you know, I'm feeling great. I'm on top of the world. Can you relate to this? On top of the world, arms out, yes, singing, dancing, doing a jig, skipping through the tulips on a Sunday afternoon, feeling great. And then something happens. Okay, this is a story, that something happens that causes me to feel a different way or causes me to go into a deep dive. Oh, gosh, nothing's worked. This is a story. These are the stories that my ego loves to tell me. Nothing's working out. This is supposed to look like this. It's supposed, why, what? So feeling, so it's being flying high in the sky to a nosedive crash to the earth. And can anybody out there relate? Can you relate to feeling really, really good? I mean, even if it's just an hour, 2 hours of feeling great, and then 5 minutes later in the afternoon, you feel like crap. You feel like shit. And I'm just going to speak for myself. I feel like I'm stuck in quicksand. Nothing's right. Nothing's turning out right. You know, that kind of thing. That kind of up and down. That emotion up and down. So I was monitoring myself because it was happening. I mean, it's always happened, but the universe always gives me what to practice when it's time for me to practice it. Not to say this wasn't happening years ago, but now it's time for me to practice what to do or what is the practice when feeling great and then not. Feeling on top of the world and then losing it. And this is what the universe revealed to me this week, which makes sense. And again, I'm not here trying to say that I have all the answers. And if you want to call in and speak with me live, the number is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. Question, comment. Hold on a second. I'm going to take a quick break and drink some water. Hold on. Hold on. Woo! How's that for a little suspense? Oh, that's spiritual drama. Hold on. Okay. So I'm noticing this shift in, yay! I mean, and it could happen throughout the day. It could be a whole day of feeling connected, a whole day of feeling great, maybe even 2 days, and then the next day, I'm down in the well. I'm down in the dirt. I'm in the quicksand. I'm getting gobbled up by, oh, God. And the focus is always on the thoughts and the stories, and they're negative, and it's just nothing's going right. You know what I'm talking about, that. Don't think it doesn't happen to me. And the universe finally gave me an answer. Let me just say this. The struggle is always internal. All suffering comes from thinking that something needs to be different than what is actually happening. I've been but a good friend of mine studies the moon, and so he shared with me a lot of different things about the moon waxing and waning and crescent moon and full moon and new moon. And the moon has a relationship with the earth in that I'm not a scientist, so someone else that has a background would be able to explain this more scientifically, but I'm just going to do it in a moon study for dummies. Here we go. So the moon is responsible for the high tides and the low tides, gravity, high tides, low tides. And I know that there is a time where the moon, different positions where the moon is in between the earth and the sun, and then the moon is on the other side of the earth and the sun, and all of that. The universe told me life, emotions, feelings, high tide, low tide. It's never going to end. High tide and low tides. It's a constant. And when it's a high tide on one side of the earth, is it a low tide on the other side? It's the same with our emotions and our feelings. We are going to feel all the time. There's no getting away from it. I mean, unless you're in a coma. I don't know. Unless you're in a coma, who knows? I just threw that in there. Emotions happen. The moon changes phases. It's constantly changing. It's constantly in motion. Just like our emotions and our feelings, constant. The suffering comes from thinking, I'm speaking for myself, thinking, well, I want to feel connected all the time. I want to feel good all the time. I want to feel peaceful all the time. Why can't that happen? Number one, so in that moment when I'm resisting a feeling that if maybe I would have, if I could choose, if I had control, if I could choose, don't you think I would choose to feel light all the time? but the truth is the labels, scratch that, scratch the truth is, this is what I've noticed. Let me get back to the high tide and low tide, because I didn't finish that whole section. High tides, low tides, cannot stop it, cannot change it. It's going to happen, just like our emotions, our feelings. It's going to happen. We feel great, sometimes we don't. It's going to happen. So the suffering comes from resisting, not wanting to experience a certain emotion or a certain feeling. That acceptance of feeling like you're in quicksand. And one of the things that I am practicing now, this is a new practice, not labeling my emotions. The universe doesn't label an emotion. Not labeling my emotions, this is an easy one, good or bad, that's an easy one. Because life is an experience without judgment. So I don't label emotion, oh, this is good, this is bad. I know all of it is there to serve me. But the label of, so instead of saying stressed, my new thing is, instead of saying stressed, which is not a thing, it's a programming anyway, don't get me started, I say stretched. Stretched, stretched, I'm stretched out, stretched. So coming up with words that don't require a judgment, stress, or a program. Feeling anger, and let me switch the anger out, coming a word of charge. See, charge doesn't have a positive or negative. It's just feeling charged. I'm feeling charged. It's not a good thing, it's a bad thing, or a bad thing. It's just charged. So, okay, here we go. Coming up with a neutral word that describes your emotions as opposed to the programmed word. Because one of the things, and again, if you want to speak with me live, just use the number. Call the number 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. So using that word charged, switching it out, for anything, there's a neutrality about it. And so the practice is coming up with neutral words that don't have a judgment attached to them. Now, I only have two right now, charged and stretched. So I'm going to come up with some more, because talk about being creative. It's a creative process. Talk about being creative. Come up with words that are neutral. That's one practice as far as the emotions and feelings. And let me get back to the emotions and feelings, because if there's going to be high tides and low tides that keep coming, same with our emotions. Emotions are going to happen. Feelings are going to happen. That's just part of being in this human body and being human. I'm using air quotes, human. Human. The emotions. But to attach a story and or a word that isn't neutral is going to subtract from your contentment. It's going to subtract from your that vibration of contentment or that vibration of peace. Feelings, emotions are going to happen. That's just part of it. Part of life, part of this journey. I also like to give the analogy of the volcano. And when the volcano, when it's time to erupt, it's going to erupt. That's a neutral thing. It's neither good or bad. It's neither good or bad. So the emotions, practicing feeling, going through the emotions without a judgment, without, oh, God, this feels horrible, I wish I could get out of it. The resistance also doesn't subtracts from peace. Resisting your emotions, it's just like riding a wave. So it's ride the wave of emotions, riding the wave of your feelings, riding them out. And sometimes, especially for me personally, if I'm feeling charged, I already know, don't walk out of the house. Meaning, I could walk out of the house. Of course I can walk out of the house. However, it's going to be a time for me to be more quiet. It's going to be a time for me to stop talking. It's going to be a time for me to navigate out in public without the, hey, hi, how you doing? Hey, hey. It's a time. For me, when I feel that charge, I'm just more quiet. And if I'm not more quiet, that's enough. And if I'm not more quiet, what I do know is whatever I say, you know what, I have to share this story. Oh, my gosh. Oh, and if I got embarrassed, I'd be embarrassed right now, but I had to let go of that embarrassed thing. You know the only reason why we get embarrassed? There's only one reason why you get embarrassed. One reason. And that's because you care what somebody else thinks. The only reason why you get embarrassed is because you care what someone else thinks, period. So you want to get rid of that embarrassment, Gene. Practice not caring what anybody else thinks. And I have to say, I was at the bank. Oh, my goodness. And one of the practices that I have to work on, oh, that's right. Don't think I'm up here just teaching and not practicing. I mean, I'm so self-aware. It's sickening. And I already know. And the story in my head is, oh, these programmed people. They're programmed. They're just robots. I'm just sharing. Don't judge me. Oh, you can judge me if you want. They're just robots. They're not even, you know, when you walk into the bank, hi, how are you doing? How's your day going? I know it sounds really simple, but I don't know why. Oh, my goodness. How's your day going so far? And it's 9 o'clock in the morning. Anywho, it's a new lady at the teller. Oh, this is so bad. This is so terrible. Terrible, terrible, Rebecca, terrible. So bad, but this is real. And so she was new, and because the other people already know. The other tellers already know. Oh, my goodness. Don't ask me any questions, meaning any program. You want to ask me a real question about something real? Yes. But these, how's your day going? How are you doing? How was your weekend? Oh, my goodness. Oh, you want to torture me, do that. Anyway, I digress. Back to the story. So now she's asking me, because she's new, well, which do you prefer, Rebecca or Becky? And then I use my nickname. My nickname, by the way, is Pancake. So I say Pancake, and not even a smile or a laugh. That's okay. And then another question. I mean, I'm very thorough. I'm very thorough when I go to the bank. I need this. Everything's written out. I'm not one of those get to the window and just fumble and bumble. And, you know, I'm the one that gets to the cashier. I already have my money out. Just for that, that's just who I am. Anywho, I digress with that story. So she's asked me about four other program questions. And finally, oh, my goodness, this is horrible. I'm going to tell you. And finally, she says, is there anything else I can do? She asked me this in the middle of the transaction. I said, yes, please stop asking me questions. Now, the vibration that I said that, the vibration that I used had a little charge to it. It wasn't delivered in a peaceful way. It wasn't delivered peacefully. I told you I was a student, too. I'm a student. And so now I'm aware of it. Now I'm, oh, and see, the thing is, anytime I'm going to speak for myself, but you're the same. Anytime I strike out or use or say something with a little bit of charge to it, I'm the one drinking the poison. I'm the one shooting myself in the foot. I'm the one feeling the pain because it wasn't delivered with universal love. Or it wasn't delivered like that. I can feel the difference. But also what I do and what I practice is I know that whatever I said let me just say this. I'm not powerful enough to make you feel any kind of way. I know the program is blaming someone else for how you're feeling. I know that's the program. But I don't have that power. I don't have that much power. And the practice, and knowing that, I know that when she, I mean, and it was an instant anger. She got instantly angry, even to the point of after I said, thank you so much, thank you. There was not even a, you're welcome, nothing. So she got instantly angry at me, and that was the exchange. That was the exchange that was supposed to happen. So there's no guilt, there's no shame, there's no I wish I could have done it differently. There's none of that. Apparently I needed to say it. Now, if it's said, I needed to say it or it needed to be expressed, and she needed to hear it, and what she said needed to be expressed also. Easy. Piece of cake. And that's life. If you want to speak with me live, you can call in area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. Getting back to that story, walking out of the bank, I knew that my words, what I said, don't ask any more questions, you know, it had a little joke to it. I am a jokester. I always have a joke underneath. I'm one of those annoying people that finds funny in almost everything, and sometimes that's annoying. Or a lot of time it's annoying. I can joke about anything. And so I said, well, don't ask me any more questions. There was a little bit of humor to that, little tick of humor, but there was a message that I wanted to deliver. But anyway, the problem, the story is, whatever is said, whatever you say to anyone, they needed to hear it. They needed to hear it the way that you said it. It is all part of an intricate plan, a divine plan. So getting back to emotions and feelings, it's going to be up and down and up and down and up and down until you breathe your last breath. It hasn't changed for me. It hasn't changed for me with any of my practices. I can feel on top of the world, and then I can also feel like my feet are stuck in quicksand. And the practice is not resisting and not putting a story to why. It's just time. It's just a high tide. It's just a low tide. It's time for the moon to be full. It's time for the moon to be waning, waxing, crescent, new. It's just time. So my practice is letting go, putting a story behind it, lighten your load, let go of that suitcase. This is why I'm feeling this way. I know we were all taught to give a reason why, to have a story why, but I'm here to share that there's another way. There's another way that's going to bring you more peace. Let's talk about the second topic. Woo! What is the second topic? Oh, identity theft. And I'm talking about, when I say identity theft, I'm talking about who are you really? Who are you? Who are you? What is the truth behind that question? Again, the number to call in is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. I'm going to take a quick 1 minute, 0.6 seconds break. Quick break, 1 minute. 1 minute. I'll be back. This is my theme song. My son wrote it. I'll be right back.
Yeah, oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's the newest spirit.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Reality. Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Reality. Spirituality.
Oh, now we get real.
Get real.
Allowing me to take a quick break. Thank you so much. You, my son, wrote that theme song. What was it? Wrote it and also sang on it. It's, what, 12 years old now? Oh, anyway, our second topic. Ooh-wee. Seatbelts on for this. Seatbelts on for this. Identity theft. So my question to you is, if you think that you are your name or your title, that's not a question, is it? Scratch that. My statement is, if you think that you are your name, your birth date, your title, your accomplishments, your gender, your job, you're ranking a mother, sister, brother, husband, wife, all of that, I'm here to tell you you're more. That is a human description. The truth is you are not. You listen, and the reason why I am really big at practicing separating now. This is just recent, especially with the topic we had earlier about the feelings and emotions up and down, and let me tie all that in to this identity theft. You know who was dissatisfied with going through those emotions? And when I talk about feeling like stuck in quicksand, you know who's really dissatisfied with that? It's not who I am. It's the ego. Now, you can use the word ego. You can use the word critical mind, or you can use lower consciousness. It's all the same. Ego, lower consciousness, mind. It's the same. This is what I'm talking about, just for clarity. The ego is very dissatisfied with the ups and the downs. But if I ask my inner self, if I ask my consciousness, if I ask, you know that I, and it's a capital I, that I that lives within, that I is very satisfied with this journey, even being in quote-unquote quicksand. Now, the ego is very, very tricky. Very tricky. It gives me a sense of false satisfaction. And that's why I'm working on my second book called Program for Unhappiness. I've been working on it for a long time, years now. And my ego will give me a sense of a false, fake satisfaction if I finish a chapter. Oh, yeah, that was great. Good, pat on the back. And I'm saying that because in an hour or 2 hours or maybe later in the day, it's not lasting. that satisfaction isn't lasting. That's why Michael Jordan, you know, thinks he should have won a seventh ring. Tom Brady, his favorite ring, the next one. So I'm talking about a satisfaction which is the same energy, I mean deep satisfaction, deep peace, deep contentment, where that entity, that I, is always satisfied. So I'm challenging you to go even deeper and go deeper than what this ego is selling. The I is always content. The ego, it's impossible to please. All I'm saying is be aware of the difference. And who do you want to identify with? An entity that is, it's impossible to be satisfied. And I'm talking about lasting satisfaction. Oh, you know, listen, you win an award. By the way, where are all our awards for personal growth? Huh? Where are the awards for that? I digress. You win an Oscar. Top of the world, walk to the stage. I mean, I've read stories, and then at the end of the night, depressed. So that's what I'm talking about, that false, fake sense of accomplishment and satisfaction. And if you can't hold on to it, if it isn't constant, that's all ego. And let me tell you how tricky my ego is. Let me just tell you how maniacal and ooh-wee. And I'm using myself in as an example because I don't like to say we, because I don't like to, I really don't like, well, we, and then we all. No, we all don't. We are as different as our fingerprints. We are as different as our fingerprints, and our journey is different. And acceptance of that, and that's the only reason why I do a lot of talking about me. It's not because, hey, it's just me. I'm really interesting. Oh, maybe I am, maybe I'm not. But I like to share personal stories. And let me just share with you how tricky my ego is. Ooh-wee. One of these futuristic movies where, it's not even a futuristic movie, but before you gain, before you gain entrance into a building, you know, they do face recognition, fingerprint recognition, voice recognition, and then you can enter the building. You can get through security. Face recognition, voice recognition, fingerprints. Oh, they may even do a DNA testing. My ego even does a DNA testing. Yep, it's me. Here I am. Fingerprints chip match, voice matches, face recognition matches, DNA matches. It's her. No, it's not her. No, I'm not my ego. No, I'm not. But it will disguise itself. The ego will disguise itself and make me believe, with its own help, with the ego's help, make me believe that that's me. When I say it's impossible for the ego to be content, let me share a personal story. Since I was 18 years old, I remember driving to Monterey and Carmel up in California. And I remember saying, gee, when I retire, I was 18, I retire when I live in the middle of a forest. We went to Yosemite every year. I mean, forest, trees, river, I said I wanted to live in the middle of a forest after I retired. Well, in 2017, I retired, and guess what? The universe led me to my dream home. I actually call it the treehouse. And it was in the middle of a forest. I was surrounded by trees with a backyard creek. And the creek flowed from end of October to April. You can hear the water from inside the house. It is a custom-made house. It couldn't be more heavenly. Windows, 13 windows just to look outside. 13 windows around. There's no curtains. I'm telling you. And when I found that house in 2017, oh, this is it. Dream house. All my life. Middle of a forest. I got everything my ego wanted, or what I thought. Everything my ego wanted. Everything, and this is a story that I thought would bring me more peace. I mean, I've been working on this peace shit, contentment shit for a long time, and this is just going to bring me more. Nature, water. I'm 20 minutes away from the Umpqua River. Probably 5 or 6 spots you can just pull off and sit down and put your feet in a river. That's where I lived for almost 5 years. Guess what? The first few months, okay, after setting everything up, making it a home, started getting a little restless. Not me, my ego. Well, why am I here? I left everything, too. Left all my friends, left all the person. Not one person. It was all the planned people, so that's what I also want to share. The universe is always setting you up for something more spectacular than you could even imagine. And when I say something more spectacular, I'm talking about insight. I'm talking about growth. I'm talking about consciousness. And again, if you want to speak with me live, anyone from Wisdom, you can call in area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. And you can ask me a question, make a comment. So let me finish after a few months, I'm getting restless. What's going on? The story's in my head. Why did I move here? I'm all by myself. And oh, my goodness. And the crying. Why am I here? And I asked that question. And forgive my listeners that have heard this a million times. I asked that question so many times. It took me probably 7 months, 8 months. I lose track of time. Crying, why am I here? I'm in the middle of the most peaceful place. And let me tell you, in Oregon, there's no smog checks. We don't have to have smog checks on our cars because the air is so clean. Anyway. Why am I here, universe? Why? And finally, I get my answer. I get the answer. Anytime you ask, you have a relationship. When you have a relationship with the universe gives you answers. May not be when you want them. Maybe months later, years later, but you always get your answers. I promise you that. When you're open to receiving, when you're open to trusting, your will. It's not my will anymore. It's just not. Why am I here? You're here because you outgrew California. There, you outgrew it. So now you have more growth, and you're going to do it right here. But regardless of those surroundings and that house, that wasn't responsible for not one extra ounce of peace that I felt, that I discovered or felt. And the truth is, and the truth is, 6 months later, I moved to the desert in a rental where I have to tape a drawer closed. I mean, the towel rack falls off the window, off the wall. Come on. Oh, my God, I left that for this. And the truth is I needed more growth. More growth and more acceptance. But let me get back to the identity theft. It wasn't me that was discontent with this, with moving or being in the forest. It was that ego that takes my fingerprints, duplicates my fingerprints, duplicates my voice, my face recognition, my DNA, and says that's me. That, yeah, that's who you are, and I'm here to tell you you're not. I'm here to tell you you are the I. You are the I or the I am, period. You're not the one that finds fault, discontentment, finds something that needs to be changed. That's not who you are. You are conscious energy. You were never born, and you're never going to die. That's who you really are. I know Rebecca Lynn Norrington was born, and Rebecca Lynn Norrington, the body's going to die, but that's not who I am. You are conscious energy. You were never born, and you will never die. At least that's my perspective. That's my perspective. And that's who I am. Now, how do you recognize identity theft? How do you recognize it? Well, you're either feeling content or you're not. Whether your feet are in quicksand, are you content with the quicksand? Or are you resisting it? Remember, the ego does not, it is impossible for it to be or feel contentment. It's just not its thing. It has not one content cell in its little entity, chromosomal, that's not even a word, body. So separating yourself, I mean consciously separating yourself from the looking out, thinking that, no, this I want this to be different, universe, and the other entity that says, I'm good with everything I'm experiencing. I'm good with all of this. So the practice is in separating who you are from who you are not. Who you are from who you are not. You are not a name. You are not a title. You are not your accomplishments. You're more. But even, you know, letting go of all that identity is tough. And let me tell you something. You know what the ego doesn't want? You know what the ego doesn't want is for you to discover the truth about who you are, to discover the truth. And it will do, just like it does me, it will do anything to stay alive, including identity theft, including making you, causing you, scratch the you, making me, causing me to believe that I'm the one that isn't satisfied with the circumstances. I'm the one that has a problem. No! The I is content with it all. The number to call in, ask a question, is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. Let me just share this. How to recognize identity theft. It's simple. Needing, wanting, desiring anything more than this present moment. That's a clue. Needing, wanting, desiring. Or even we talked about this last week. I know I got a couple of emails. Okay, you know, yeah, I'm good about this. Oh, I'll feel good when this manifests or when this happens, waiting for something else to happen, waiting for something more to happen. That's not you. Well, no, let me stop that. That's not me. No. The I am in me can't be more satisfied. Looks out at everything that my ego says is out of order and finds order in it. Finds order in it. That includes the world. You know, come on. I get it. I really get it. Oh, it's chaos and chaos. Well, the ego wants me to find chaos, wants me to find something wrong, wants me. I mean, that's how it lives. That's how it survives. I swear when I find I'm feeding it, oh, hi, ego. I have a conversation with it. I'm not up here hating on it. I just have a conversation. Oh, hi, ego. And the ego never leaves. Oh, I wake up in the morning. Yeah, pops right there. Thoughts happening, stories in my head. And I go, and I know that it's there because I'm not in the present moment. It's future. I'm thinking future. Or, you know, some story in my head. Story. All stories offered by the ego. And it can snap you up in a second, but I'm here to say it's identity theft because the I is at peace. The universe is at peace with no stories. There are no stories in the universe. There are no stories. It's a human thing. Ego. Lower consciousness. You have to have a story. The ego feeds off a story. So my practice is just to be conscious, be aware of the stories, and especially the stories that have this word, because. I'm feeling this way because. That word because is also a clue, a big clue. Going back to the first topic, I'm feeling this way because it's time to feel this way. I'm emotional because it's time for me to feel these emotions, period. I feel, period. Not I feel sad, I feel mad, I feel anxious, depressed. This is my practice. Jump on or jump off. I feel, period. There's no story attached. And see, that, the ego, oh, talk about suffering, talk about torturing the ego. The ego wants you to put a story behind it. The ego wants, but see, that's identity. That's not who you are. Scratch that. That's not who I am. I'm not dissatisfied. And when the universe gave me this information a couple of days ago, there was a dropping of my shoulders even more. To know the differences between an entity that is always satisfied and always content, and the other entity that is never content, you know, that identity that is never satisfied, or that identity that surrenders to every moment without resistance, with the trust, with the knowing, with the belief that it is there to serve me. So that, you know what I get rid of? I get rid of all my planning. I get rid of all those extra suitcases I have to carry with me. You know, I always talk about overpacking. Overpacking. Yeah, I'm carrying this suitcase of the future with me. I can let that go. What that requires is more practice of being okay with uncertainty and trusting. Trusting the magic. And it, I can't think of another word, you know, synchronicity, but there's magic to it. I was at a neighbor's house a few days ago, just meeting this one woman, and she's an elderly woman, and she says she stays in her room, or she's got, you know, her daughter there, her husband there. She feels like a prisoner in her own house. Anyway, so she's telling me this story, and you know, I thought about it later, and I said, you know, I can assist her with something, because she was asking me. Trust me, I'm not out there throwing out advice without anyone asking, especially in the public. Not in the public. I did that for years. That's another thing. Offering advice to people that don't ask. That's called being in someone else's business. That's going to subtract from your peace and your happiness. So she asked me, and I said, let me think about it. Now, I didn't have her number. So I text the woman that I knew had her number, and she'd been friends with her for years. I said, person, can you text this woman's number, my number to her? I said, I think I have something that I can that may help her. That's what I said. Goes by, 2 weeks go by. Now, my ego tells me why she didn't share my number. My ego comes. But I let it go, because one of the things that I practice, if it's happening, it's supposed to be happening. And if it ain't happening, it's not supposed to be happening. Period. Yesterday, and I never go to this grocery store. I just don't. But for some reason, I was guided, I was inspired to go to Smith's Grocery Store. And guess who I find in Smith's Grocery Store? The woman that asked me for help over 2 weeks ago. But I didn't have her number, she didn't have my number, and the mutual person didn't for whatever reason, didn't share the number. Could have forgotten, it could have been tons of reasons. See, the ego also wants to be right about the reasons. The ego also wants to be right about the stories. But that's not me. Ego is always finding something wrong, focusing on what's wrong. That's what my ego does. The other thing that the ego does, me anymore, I mean, now that I'm really separating myself from this ego, I mean, it is a conscious separation. Separation from the ego has to occur in order to find peace, lasting peace. And when I say peace, again, it's an energy. I like that word, contentment. Separation from the ego has to occur in order to feel contentment. And in order for the contentment to last, I mean, you can feel it, you know, a second of contentment, an afternoon of contentment. I'm talking about lasting contentment. Separation. I have to say it again. I just have to. Separation from the ego has to occur in order to find contentment or peace. That means, okay, here we go. Ooh, put your seatbelt. Really, if you have your seatbelt on, put it on again. That means, and I'm only going to speak for myself. I'm only going to speak for me. You can do whatever you want to do, whatever you think fits you. That means letting go of all my wants, of all my desires, of all what this world programs me to want and believe are valid. Letting go of wants, desires, and manifest this and then this is going to happen. Well, I talked about that last week. Manifest a new planet. Let me see you do that. Manifest a cure for this COVID. Let me see you do that. Anyway, let me back up. That's just another chip on my shoulder that that I just exposed. What's going to bring me more contentment? It's letting go of anything that I am not. In other words, letting go of that energy of wanting more. Again, my ego is never going to be content. I'm practicing identifying with the I am, period. I am. I am. That's it. And trust that the universe is going to take me to places and guide me exactly where I, well, not trust it. I mean, I don't have a say in it. You think that, at least I know that the universe is signing off on everything that happens to me and everything that doesn't happen. It's a sign off. And not only that, I mean, if you really want to get deeper, before I even came here, I mean, this is what I practice. Even before I came here, I set it up. This is what I want to experience. Now, my ego has a problem with a lot of it. My ego has a problem with a lot of the way things look and circumstances and events that I'm going through. A lot of it. It's not satisfied. But apparently, I signed off on all of this before I arrived. And I wanted all of it. And so that comes back to the awareness and the consciousness of being on the journey, being in the back seat and allowing the universe to drive. And when I'm inspired to act, I know, I can feel it, I act. And I'm inspired. And I make a move, and I do take action. And when I'm not, I'm just not. But there was a time where I didn't feel content. I could have wrote a chapter today, and all I did was watch Wipeout. Oh, that's what a funny show. Watch Wipeout. I watched three shows of Wipeout. Oh, how unproductive. See, my ego is always dissatisfied with everything I do or don't do. It is I could set a clock by it. Again, to wrap up, this sense of satisfaction, this false sense of satisfaction, this false sense of contentment, you know that it's ego-driven when it disappears. And it's not rooted. From the last few days when I got this information, and I mean, I've already known, I've already talked about witnessing my ego, not identifying with my ego, not identifying with the thoughts, not identifying with the stories. I've already said that. I've already got that. But there is even a deeper understanding now where I know that there is a huge difference. And what team am I going to play on? What team am I going to be on? If I want to go on the ego's team, trust me, it's going to be an up and down ride of feeling satisfied and not, feeling content and not, feeling happy and unhappy, feeling peaceful and not peaceful. I'm done with that. I'm 66. I'm done. I'm still practicing. So, I mean, I haven't, but the awareness is your power. Not the manifestation. Your awareness is your power. Well, you can believe the manifestation is your power or not. But God didn't have to manifest the earth to be God. Boop. Share with you some of the behaviors. So that's my topic on identity theft. Knowing the difference between who the man made, your name, your title, your accomplishments, your birthday, knowing all of that, and that other entity, I am. I, that entity that is always content. You know what the words ego, and these are some clues. The ego uses words like want, desire, block, so they're blocks, manifestation, bad, good, cause, justice, justice, fear, shame. Your true identity has nothing to do with being human. Your true identity has nothing to do with being human. I'm saying rise above that humanness. Or not. Let me just share with you a few behaviors, that program behaviors that subtract from your peace, and also behaviors that add to happiness. So these are behaviors that subtract from happiness and or peace and or contentment the energy and the behaviors that add. I'm going to start from the bottom now, because I've always started from the top of the list. I'm going to start from the bottom. Here we go. Ooh, this is a hard one. Having hate or disdain for anyone else. Ooh, having hate or disdain, or not accepting. And you know that comes from putting a label on people. You know, these labels. Having a cause. Now, let me talk about the cause thing just for a second. And I get it. But wanting, there's nothing wrong with working or promoting or volunteering or any of that stuff. But I'm saying the problem comes in when you want other people to think your cause is just as important. You want them to think that your cause should be important to them too. That, in fact, I wrote it differently. How would it be a little bit more succinct? Here we go. Wanting someone else to think what you think is important is important. So that's all I'm talking about when having a cause. Have your causes. But the problem, the peace robber comes from when you want someone else to think that your cause is important, and don't you think my cause is important, and shouldn't you think my cause is important? That's the rub. That's the ego. Anyway, thinking there is something that you should do. That word should, I don't even use it anymore. I use inspired. If I'm inspired, yes, there's nothing I should do, but there's a lot of things that I am inspired to do. Identifying with your body, identifying with your ego, having an agenda. That's when you talk to anyone and you have an agenda, whether you're trying to sell them something. Scratch the selling, because that's just part of, scratch that. I didn't want to say that, not selling. Having an agenda, meaning you want them to be different. Or you're trying to teach them something. Thinking that you're wasting time. Oh, what a big one. That's a big ego. The program is I'm wasting time. And the truth is, there's such an illusion. I know in this human body, in this human world, there is a such thing as time. But in that, which one do you want to identify with? The human world? Because you identify with the universe. There is an infinite amount of time. Thinking that life has to be fair, having regrets, allowing your ego to dictate your behavior or your feelings, taking anything personally, worrying, assigning a label to any experience, needing to be right, lack of personal growth. If you aren't able to say, you know what, 2 weeks ago, I'm different. 6 months ago, I know how I'm different. I'm different in this way. A solid reason, a tangible reason, in a monitor. You know how you monitor growth? Yeah, I'm monitoring my growth, and it's the small steps. Growth happens, at least for me, very, very slowly. But to be able to look back and say, wow, 6 months ago, that wouldn't have mattered. Listen, when I first moved here 6 months ago, that towel rack not sticking on the wall, that mattered. That drawer not opening, that mattered. The paint that spilled over to the other color, that mattered. Oh, believe me. And that's what happens. You start dropping these suitcases that you do not need to carry. You do not need to carry. So letting go and recognizing and know who you are really. And it's not your ego even, and it's tricky. It's tricky. Even though it feels like it's you. Oh, these are my thoughts. Oh, these are my thoughts. Oh, this is me. Trust me. You've been robbed. Now, some of the behaviors that add to happiness is surrendering to whatever is happening in the moment, trusting, letting go of that illusion of control, choosing your focus, choosing your perspective, having self-awareness, practicing self-awareness, staying out of everybody else's business, a deep appreciation for this life. A deep appreciation for this life. Telling yourself the truth. You don't have to tell anybody else the truth, but telling that person in the mirror the truth, and making this making your energy of contentment, of peace, a priority. Listen, you know what you're contributing, especially for you people that, you know, the recyclers and contributing to the planet. Your vibration, your energy is also a contribution. And whatever you're vibrating, in whatever moment you find yourself vibrating, that's what you're contributing to this planet. So if you are, angry, sad, fearful, depressed, that's your contribution in that moment. I'm not judging. I'm not saying you should not be happy because everything should not be happening because everything is in order. Everything is in divine order. I know that. I trust that. I don't believe my eyes. Oh, the eyes. Those eyeballs will tell me something. Look at something and find something wrong. I don't believe my eyes. Don't trust your eyeballs. So what's your contribution? Only you can answer that. Oh, boy. Well, that's about the end of today's show. Not about. That is the end of today's show. I want to thank you for listening to Reality Spirituality Radio, which is heard every Sunday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And visit my website, RebeccaNorrington.com. You can follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington. And I'm on LinkedIn, and Instagram handle is Reality Spirituality. My first book, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, which was self-published in 2014, it's on Amazon. But the book I'm writing now, I've got about 80% of it done. And you know what? That's another thing, just letting go of, it should have been done. No. It's going to get done, or how about this one? It's not ever going to get done. It's not ever going to get finished. How about that? How about being okay with that? Because my ego will tell me that there's something wrong. This book should have been finished, and you have to get this book out. And how about no ego? You're not going to steal my identity because the I, who I am identifying with, is okay with me finishing the book or not. So until next time, and the book that I'm talking about, the one I'm writing now, is called Program for Unhappiness. So until next week, my dear audience, I want you to remember who the hell you are. You are a physical extension of the universe, your conscious energy, and you're always evolving, you're always changing, you're always growing. Love is patient, and love is kind. Be patient and be kind to yourself by accepting yourself in every moment. Be your own best friend. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. Happiness is a practice skill. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality Radio with yours truly, happiness specialist, inner peace practitioner, oracle, teacher, and student. Happiness is a practice skill, and I promise you, the more you practice, the more peace you will find. Your experience in every moment reflects on what you practice. Have a conscious week.
Yeah, oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience. Spirituality. Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man. You got a question for RLM? Reality, spirituality. Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby. Reality, spirituality. Oh, now we get real.
Get real.
Great.